Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, July 19th. As we reported in yesterday's newscast, members of Delta Montrose Electric Association have been reporting numerous scam phone calls. Many members have already fallen victim and have lost hundreds of dollars. KVNF News spoke with Becky Mashburn, Marketing Supervisor for DMEA, and asked her to describe the scam that is going around.
So we've had reports from our members that someone is calling them, claiming to represent DMEA, and threatening immediate disconnection if the person doesn't pay now. And it's a pretty standard scenario. We've seen it before. But basically, they try to convince a member that they're past due and that they need to pay right this second or they're going to be shut off. So they're often demanding credit card numbers over the phone, banking information, and in some cases, telling people to go pay in cash or meet in person or even wire money.
And as you say, this is something you've seen before. How is it that people who are doing the scam are getting a hold of DMEA phone numbers?
Well, scammers and individuals in general can get phone numbers from a lot of different places. They could pick up a local phone book even. But they can get them from purchasing lists, anywhere you might enter your phone number online and not necessarily be super vigilant about it. Even certain terms and conditions you agree to for games or apps that you wouldn't even think of. So the numbers are out there, and scammers just can get them offline from a numerous sources.
Phone scams are not uncommon in Delta County. Some are more successful than others. The recent one targeting DMEA members seems to be a little bit different than the run-of-the-mill phone scam.
This one seemed to stick around a little longer. Typically, we see the scams kind of filter across the state, and we'll hear of, you know, a co-op near us getting hit and expect for them to kind of filter into our service territory, last about a week, and then move on. These lasted a little longer. And so we just were trying to get out some more information, and they seemed to be pressing a little harder on our members. They were stepping up their game. But for the most part, our members are very vigilant and reported it immediately to us as well as local law enforcement.
If you receive a call from DMEA, it may be a fraud. Get as much information from the caller as possible, end the call, and call DMEA directly to confirm your account details. Never give out your credit card number, banking information, or social security number over the phone. Never agree to meet someone in person to pay cash. If you want to pay in person, only pay at one of the designated DMEA offices or payment drop boxes. Those are located at the DMEA headquarters in Montrose, at Reed Service Center near Austin, and at the Hotchkiss Chamber of Commerce kiosk across from City Market in Hotchkiss. Never agree to send check or cash via a third party. Check your account yourself at DMEA.com. Also, report any suspicious calls to local law enforcement immediately. Mashburn said there is one thing to always do if you get a call and you think it's a scam.
The one thing they can do that will prevent it 100% is to end the call and call DMEA directly to confirm any details. Don't give out your information over the phone. Simply, you can thank the caller even, but end the call and call us directly, and they can confirm their account details over the phone with our customer service rep, or they can confirm their account details themselves by logging into their account online.
The State Parks Program that puts backpacks with parks passes, binoculars, and guides into public libraries is in its second year. As Rocky Mountain Community Radio member KRCC's Andrea Chalfin reports, its popularity has been somewhat of a surprise.
The program called Check Out State Parks officially launched last year in more than 280 libraries statewide. This year, it's expanded to include many publicly funded college and university libraries. At a time when funding for state parks is lagging, Parks and Wildlife spokeswoman Lauren Truitt says there is value in the free program.
Although it doesn't generate immediate revenue, What it does do is it generates immediate value to people, really bringing that sense of place and that sense of pride that this is Colorado.
Truitt says they've seen wait lists for the backpacks in some areas. A survey last year showed that as a result of the program, 97% of respondents were likely to recommend a visit to a state park and 77% likely to buy a day pass. Colorado Parks and Wildlife reports in the first 6 months of the program, they saw an average of 165 checkouts each week. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin.
As we reported in the KVNF newscast yesterday, a new study by the University of Colorado indicates that over 80% of all the wildfires in the West are human-caused. There was a wildfire in Moffitt County Sunday afternoon that fits in with the other 20%. As described by the Craig Daily Press, a raccoon started a wildfire around 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, about 7 miles southwest of Craig. The raccoon climbed on a power pole transformer, causing it to spark and igniting a fire that burned about 7 acres, according to Moffitt County Sheriff and Fire Chief K.C. Hume. Craig Fire and Rescue, Memorial Regional Health Emergency Medical Services, and Yampa Valley Electric Association responded. Power was out for about 31 residents until 3 p.m. when service was restored. No other structures were burned by the fire, and responders were able to extinguish the blaze in about an hour. The raccoon did not survive the incident. And finally today, in a press release from Montrose, the Montrose City Council has set Wednesday, July 26th, as the deadline for qualified electors to submit applications for the city council vacancy created by Rex Swanson's recent resignation. Interviews will be conducted at the July 31st work session, and a formal appointment will occur at the regular meeting on August 1st. To be eligible for appointment, applicants must be qualified electors and must have resided within the city of Montrose for 12 consecutive months preceding the actual appointment date. Due to the potential for applicants to be appointed to either the District 2 or at-large seat, the council has waived the requirement for applicants to reside within the district corresponding to the vacancy. Applications are available online at cityofmontrose.org/citycouncil or at City Hall. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.